Well, welcome to Capital Church Prayer. You know, it's one of those things that if I had an opportunity to ask every one of you, you would define prayer maybe a little bit differently depending on your upbringing, the spiritual journey you've had, maybe the church you grew up in, or the fact you didn't grow up in church. But we all have a little bit different idea when it comes to prayer. That's something we're going to talk about today. In fact, just to kind of get us connected with each other, why don't you just take 5 seconds, turn to your neighbor, and what are the first two words that come to your mind when you hear the word prayer? Go ahead and talk to your neighbor. First two words that come to your mind with the word prayer. I love all this murmuring. This is great. So if I had more time, I'd love to tally all of your comments about prayer. And then if you want to, at the end of the service, you could pray about the smorgasbord you're about to eat later. You could do that if you want, just for fun. But prayer, what is it, right? You could do a Google search. There's all kinds of information out there about prayer. Different theologians have tackled this issue for years. Perhaps when you think about prayer, you think about prayer as a connection point. That connection point, a portal even, between the eternal and the mortal, the natural and the supernatural. Maybe that's what you think of when it comes to prayer. Maybe some of you grew up with this idea that prayer is kind of like an ATM machine a little bit, where you kind of punch in a few prayers and you expect a quick result, right? Put your time in and you get a result back. Maybe when you think about prayer, you think about people that have been used by God that must have learned prayer really well. And we can learn from them of what they've learned about prayer. Maybe Mother Teresa, Billy Graham, right? In fact, Billy Graham was interesting. He was asked one time, a little bit later on in his ministry, he said, someone came to him and said, Billy, you've been all over the world. You've spoken to more people than anyone in history, counseled presidents, grown ministries, impacted millions of people. If there was one thing you would do differently as you look back on your life, what would that be? You know what Billy said? He said, I would pray more. I would have prayed more. I'm thinking, okay, if Billy Graham needs to pray more, I definitely need to pray more. I think we all need to pray more, right? But what did Billy Graham say about prayer? He described prayer as a two-way conversation. Two-way conversation. And on the surface, well, yeah, that makes sense. Of course, prayer is a two-way conversation. You talk to God and you listen to God, right? Just like any good communication. I'm sure that marriage class is going to be talking about listening and talking to your spouse, right? It's both. Two-way conversation. It's the root of good communication, good conversation. And that's what prayer should be, right? Maybe that's what you think of. So maybe when you think about prayer, it's not just coming to God with a need or asking and trying to get something from God. It's not just coming to God with a grocery list of items and then taking off for the rest of your day. You know, this idea that I think most of us would agree that, yeah, prayer, it makes sense to have a little listening part and have a talking part. Now, again, as I mentioned, what I love about Capital, there's so much diversity in this church. And I think it's a real strength of Capital that all of us are at different places on our spiritual journey. That's a good thing. We can learn from each other. But there's one thing I think we do have in common when it comes to this prayer aspect. And that's this. When you think about prayer, if prayer is really listening and talking to God, I think all of us would say, my guess would be anyway, that between those two options, the option we struggle with the most is the listening part. Would you agree? It's so much harder to listen than to talk to God, right? Why is that? We're going to examine that a little bit today of why it's so difficult to listen to God. Because I believe this. You know, Troy said, you can speak on whatever you'd like to speak. We're going to take a break from the book of John. So I really been working on this in my own life, like this whole idea of listening to God more. And so I said, I'd love to talk about this topic because it's something I'm trying to grow in. And I think as I grow in my spiritual journey, I believe this is one of those things when we really get to the point where we want to go to that next level, if you will, of prayer, that next level of our spiritual journey, where we're really having this communication with God. We want to really hear the voice of God more in our life. We really need to understand that if we're going to do that, we need to try listening to God more than just talking to God. I think it's something we could all work on. So a couple of questions to get us started. Have you ever thought about this, that when it comes to your life, like, do you really wish God would speak more into your life? Do you feel like you would like the voice of God to be louder in your life? Do you ever feel like that perhaps the noise of your life drowns out maybe the voice of God because of all that's going on in your life? I feel like in my own life, the speed of my life as it picks up, it's much more difficult to slow down and actually have the time and the quietness to hear from God. And as the speed of our lives go up, the noise of our life goes up. In fact, I would submit to you that one of the biggest hindrances to hearing the voice of God in our life is what I call white noise. And not just, now let me back up. So this is a white noise machine, right? So let's technically talk about a white noise machine. What does white noise mean? So a simple definition of white noise is a form of sound masking, right? So it drowns out or masks the sound of things around you, right? So man, I'm just turn this on here. How's that beautiful sound? Isn't that wonderful? It's kind of an annoying sound, but maybe you have an office and you've got this on your office, you know, or outside your office, because you don't want the conversation you're having to be heard in the next office or vice versa, right? We have a counseling center at the Christian center where I lead, and those are private conversations. So we have a lot of white noise machines going on that floor for that very reason. And as you think about this, and I crank this up, that's pretty loud, isn't it? And it's a little annoying. And that's the point. After a while, this can start drowning out the other noises in your life. And if you start thinking metaphorically about white noise, there's all kinds of things that cause problems in our life that start with, you're like, thank you, turn that thing off. So annoying. Every server's like, please. Ah. Anyway, here's what I would say metaphorically. We use that as an analogy, if you will. There's all kinds of forms of white noise. This is a form of white noise right here. And we keep it with us all the time. It's like, it might as well just be an appendage of our body, right? Because we have this all the time. Maybe you're one that as soon as you walk into the house, you turn on the TV because you just want to have background noise. As soon as you walk in or get into your car, you turn the radio on. Your talk radio, you got music blaring. When you go to the gym, you put headphones on to listen to a podcast or listen to music. We are surrounded by music and noise all the time. In fact, think about this. When was the last time you went to a restaurant that didn't have either music or TVs? There are no restaurants anymore. I think they all went out of business. It's not the model anymore, right? The reason I know this is I have a father that has some hearing issues. And so whenever we get together, either at, back at the hometown or he comes here to visit, I always look for restaurants because he doesn't want to go to a restaurant that's very loud. It really bothers his ears. And I can't find a restaurant. There are none, really. So we have to usually take food out and then take it home. This is our culture. Our culture surrounds us. Now, the fun part of it is it's exciting. You go to a restaurant that's got great TV things going on. There's basketball. March Madness is going on right now. You want to go to a restaurant that has basketball games going on, perhaps, right? You want noise. You want music. It makes a great ambiance. It's a great culture. But here's the problem. We surround our lives 24/7 with sound. Some of us even sleep with sound. Right? We have little white noise makers, or we have those great apps that have like nature sounds. Have you had these, right? Where you can turn them. So it sounds like you're outside camping. It's like little crickets. It's on your phone because you can't go to sleep without noise. It's so interesting, isn't it? We live in a world of noise. And the problem is, as the noise of our life goes up, it gets more and more difficult to hear the voice of God. So if prayer really is listening to God and talking to God, we're going to have to do something with the noise of our life, right? To really listen to God. And to help us figure out how to get there is we're going to look at a story that from some of you is a very familiar story. It's the story of Elijah. And in fact, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to 1 Kings 19. We're going to give an opportunity to look at this moment in Elijah's life where he heard the voice of God. Now, for some of you who have not maybe as familiar with this story, let me give you kind of the context of this. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah was one of the greatest prophets of all time in the Jewish faith, right? And he had just, when we're picking up the story in chapter 19, he had just finished an exhausting experience. He had this showdown, if you will, with the prophets of Baal. And he won the Super Bowl in the spiritual world when it came to Baal versus Yahweh worship. He won the Super Bowl. And he was a household name, and he was the victor. He took home the trophy. The only problem was the queen at the time was a Baal worshiper and didn't like the fact that Elijah basically destroyed all these statues of Baal and won this showdown. And so the queen wanted him dead, literally. And so after this big showdown, Elijah wins. He flees for his life, literally. He goes the opposite direction and goes as far away as he can to the wilderness out of survival. He's burnt out. He's fried. The queen wants to kill him. And he desperately needs the voice of God in his life. So he ends up at this cave. And that's where we pick it up in chapter 19. Let's read it here. It's up here on the screen if you'd like. Here it goes. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, have torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, well, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So I'd love to see a movie version of this, right? There's this guy at this cave and all this fire and earthquake and wind. God wasn't in any of that noise. But the gentle whisper. In fact, theologians still debate over this Hebrew word. And some people believe that Hebrew word actually means silence. The Hebrew word is demama. And this could mean silence. So the sound of silence. So it's not even a whisper. It's less than a whisper. And instinctively, Elijah knows this is the voice of God. Now, let me ask you, have you ever been in a place that's so quiet, the quiet is deafening? Ever experienced that? I know it's an odd way to ask it, but let me give an example. So back in the day, I used to be a youth pastor, and I took some junior high kids spelunking, going through a cave. And we went to this part of the cave where it's kind of the middle of the cave, and it opened up, and it was the darkest part of the cave, of course, because it was right in the middle of this particular section. And so we all gathered together, and then we said, okay, we're going to turn all of our lights off. No flashlights, turn them off. And there we were sitting in the dark. I still remember, it was so dark, I literally couldn't see the hand in front of my face. Like the darkness was thick and the silence was deafening. And that's really hard for junior hires to be quiet about anything. But they were quiet, they were kind of scared. They're like, what's going to happen? You know, it was completely silent for just a few seconds. I kind of have this image that's what that must have been like for Elijah. Here's all this noise and earthquake and wind and fire, and then silence. And instinctively, he knew it was the presence of God. It was so silent, it was deafening. Now, let me ask you, as you think about your life today, this week, this month, when have you had complete silence in your life? Not including when you're asleep, but when you're awake. Can you think of a time in the last week you literally had complete silence? I think in our culture, it's really difficult. It's really difficult because we have so many things around us that are constantly pulling for our attention. Now, here's what I'd like to do. We're going to try something. I want to have a moment of silence. And not like before a basketball game when you think about someone who's passed away after the national anthem, that kind of thing. No, 3.5 minutes of silence. Here's what I want you to do. There's going to be a video I'm going to show. It has no sound. But there's really important questions and words on the screen. And I encourage you to settle in, watch this video, and really read the words on the screen. And enjoy 3.5 minutes of silence. Take a look. It was really quiet in here. Every service has been amazing, except for an occasional beautiful little baby's voice. Was that the most silence you've had in weeks? Again, while they're still awake? I really believe our culture is such that one of the biggest challenges we face now, together, all of us, to really hear the voice of God in our lives and collectively in our community, is we filled our lives with so much noise. And silence is so important. Throughout Scripture, you see it. In fact, as I've been diving back into this, I've forgotten how much silence is spoken about in Scripture. I'm too busy. I'm like, I got to get through the Scripture and move on. Silence is real because that's often when God gets our attention. Now, I realize some of you are really good at this already. You get away regularly, get into nature or wherever you like to have silence. You can teach the rest of us how to do this better because I think it's so critical to our relationship with God. In fact, let me ask that question again I asked earlier. How many of us wish that God would speak more into our lives? I think every one of our hands would go up. We all want God to speak more in our lives. So how do we do that? Here's a couple of things. Number one, we just have to try listening to God more than just talking to God. How do we do that? Well, number one, I really believe, like in my own life anyway, we have to ruthlessly eliminate the white noise in our life. Ruthlessly eliminate it and go after it. It means turning your phone off, turning your TV off, not listening every time you're in the car to music. But there's other forms of white noise, right? In fact, maybe what you need to do today is identify what's the white noise in your life. Maybe it is that you just turn on the TV as soon as you walk in and don't do that anymore. Maybe it's having music on all the time. Maybe your white noise is alcohol. Because boy, you could cover a lot of things up with alcohol. Maybe it's busyness. Maybe the white noise in your life is you just are busy all the time. You have something going on. You have no time to relax or sit down and really go see what's going on in your soul because you're too busy. In fact, you do it that way because here's what's interesting about white noise. White noise, sometimes we create white noise in our life because we don't want to deal with what's really going on in our heart and soul. There's pain. There's hurt. There are feelings we'd rather not feel. And so we fill our lives with noise or busyness or you name it. You fill in the blank. Maybe it's Netflix. Netflix binging for you is your way of dealing with, I don't have to think about my feelings. Let's see what Netflix is on, And you can show after show and just watch it till 3 a.m. What is your white noise? Maybe you need to identify your white noise. Interestingly, counselors use a term, and maybe you're very familiar with this term. It's called mindfulness, right? It's a therapeutic tool. And mindfulness simply is this, to focus all of your attention on the present. So say you're sitting in a chair at a counselor's office. They want you to be, okay, just think about the present. Feel your body, in terms of all the different, what is your body feeling? What are you thinking right now? To be fully present with all that's going on in your body, soul, and mind, right? It's mindfulness. It's a way to get down to, okay, now I'm ready to talk about whatever is going on because we're so fidgety sometimes. We're so distracted by different things. And if you have a little ADHD, you're really distracted, like, oh, squirrel, beautiful. And so some of us struggle with this more than others, but mindfulness is so critical. Just getting fully in the present, being aware of our mind, our body, and what's going on. And I would say that's a great start. And then we go to the next level of once you're mindful and you're experiencing mindfulness, now you say, okay, God, I'm ready for you to speak. You want to tune into what God is saying to you. That's the next step, if you will. And that's what I'm getting at. Because listening to God is perhaps even more important than talking to God, right? So here's my challenge. So when you leave today, some of you, again, you're really good at this already, and perhaps, in fact, you spend time praying to God on a regular basis. Every day you spend time praying, which is fantastic. Maybe, though, in your prayer time, you need to spend more time on the listening side than just talking. So maybe that's your next step. For the rest of us, we just need to carve time out intentionally in our schedule. I mean, we schedule everything, right, in our life. We schedule when the dog needs to be taken out. We schedule all of our important stuff at work for the next 3 months, our big goals that we need to reach. We schedule our carpool. We schedule when the kids' soccer game is. We schedule all these things. Why don't we schedule time with God? Like literally put it in our schedule. And in that, I would go one step further to say, Carve out time where you can be in a place, even if it's in your car by yourself, where it's quiet. I know when I had little kids, it was really hard to have a quiet time with God because there's always noise when you have little kids in the house. So that wasn't a good place to do a quiet time and really connect with God. Even if I get up early, kids get up early, really early. Sometimes they never go to bed. So you have to find that. And so maybe you're a parent right now and you're dealing with that. Okay, so after you do this, here's the next big question that'll come up. So assuming we all get to the point where we spend some more time listening to God, we think it's important. You get to the place where you're ready to listen to God, then a big question's going to come up. Okay, Rob, I'm ready to listen. How do I know if it's really God's voice speaking to me, right? That's the next question. This is a big question. How do we know it's really God speaking to me and not the spicy burrito I just had last night, you know? Like, really, how do I know this is really God? Think about this. It's been said that when we talk to God, it's called prayer. When God speaks to us, it's called schizophrenia. And we have some counselors that would love to help you with that issue, right? I mean, seriously, in our culture, you don't go around saying, hey, God told me this, and they would lock you up in a padded room, right? So there's already kind of a bias against this idea that God could actually speak to you, and you need to listen to God. So we need to work on it a little bit more. There's an art to it. So let me say a few things about this. I believe that listening to and hearing from God is a learned behavior. It's a learned behavior, something we have to learn to do. I believe that Elijah learned to hear from God. He spent years as a prophet, you know, of God, and he learned how God began to speak in his life. So this moment that we just read about was just one of the many moments that God would actually speak into his life. Now, this is a very dramatic one. And God spoke maybe in a unique way in the sense of speaking through silence. But God was speaking to Elijah his whole life, and Elijah had learned how to hear from God. And we can learn too. This is not just something for special prophets. This is something all of us can learn to do, is to learn how to hear from God. In fact, Dallas Willard says this, the fact that we do not hear God does not mean that God is not speaking to us. Think about this. Genesis 1:1, it's so fascinating how it describes creation, that God spoke creation into existence. So in one way, God has been speaking since the beginning of the world, and he continues to speak. So as Dallas Willard says, just because we don't hear God doesn't mean that God's not speaking. So, okay, how do we figure this out? So it's a learned behavior. So what are those things we need to determine of how we can determine and discern, is this God's voice or is this somebody else's voice? So I would say this, God's voice has distinct characteristics. God's voice has distinct characteristics. Here's what I mean by that. Here's a little analogy. Remember back in the day, this is going to go back and date me a little bit, but remember when phones, you used to have to put your finger in and go, you remember those rotary phones? My kids have no idea. They're in the museums now, so I don't know if they don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, back in the days, we had rotary phones, and you would call somebody. There was no caller ID. So you had no idea who was calling you. You just pick it up, right? You couldn't screen calls back then like you do now. You had no idea, so you just picked it up. And I remember back in college when I would, we didn't have a phone in our room in college, if you can believe it. And so you had like certain times of the week you can go take this community phone and call your parents. So I remember calling my parents. And within a few seconds, my mom would know who I was. And why that's important, now, I'm one of five, right? But it took a couple of seconds, a couple of words out of my mouth, and my mom knew immediately, oh, this is Rob. She knew. And because I had distinct characteristics, you know, my voice. And the same way, it's interesting, I have three girls. And now most of the time they're texting me. They don't really actually pick up the phone and call into this thing called a phone. Yeah, they usually are texting me. But when they actually do, same thing, like I can pick up right away. Just a few seconds when one of my daughters is calling, I know exactly which one it is. Even though there are a lot of other people think they sound very similar, I can tell the difference. In fact, when they were little, I remember, maybe you parents have experienced this, your kids all have a unique cry. That cool? Like you can totally tell. They just cry differently. You just know. And so as you build a relationship, you know the distinctive characteristics of the voice. And as we grow in our relationship with God, we begin to understand and discern, oh, that's God's voice. That's God's voice. And here's the good news. God knows your voice. If you think, I know my kid's voice, God knows you. You are all God's kids. He knows your voice. So you don't have to scream. You don't have to yell loudly. And you don't have to go through all these, you know, spiritual gymnastics to get God's attention. God knows your voice. You just need to talk to him. But you also, the flip side is we need to begin to understand God's voice and understand what the distinct characteristics are. Now, for the time that we have, we could talk about this for weeks. But just for today, I want to talk about two distinct characteristics of God's voice. Two distinct characteristics. How does God speak? How do we know about these distinguishing traits of God's voice? The first is this. God always speaks in ways consistent with his character. God speaks in ways consistent with his character. And number two, I'll give it to you and we'll come back to it, is God always speaks consistent with the Bible. So those two are the first two characteristics. Consistent with his character, consistent with the Bible. Let's first look at the character. So there's certain things, obviously, as we read the Bible, we learn about God's character, right? And we understand how God begins to speak to us in different ways. And I've not done an exhaustive, you know, PhD study on this, but as I've studied scripture in this, there are certain traits for sure, particularly you look at the person of Jesus as an example. As Jesus, you know, was on earth and as he interacted with people, there were certain things he would say. And you can do a study on this. You can figure out how many commands God gives through Jesus and what Jesus focuses his attention on. So for example, Jesus would say things like this, God the Father cares for you. He said that so many times. Your life matters. Fear not. The number one command Jesus used was fear not or do not be afraid. He said that more than anything else because he knew that would be an issue for us, right? He'd say things like, don't lose hope, trust and obey, follow me, forgiveness is available, stay away from sin, your life can make a difference. And on I go. You can study this. You can start figuring out, these are the words of Jesus. This is the character of Jesus. This is the character of God. And we can begin to discern the distinguishing traits of God's voice. In fact, 1 John 4:1 says this, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. So this is a big deal, right? There's a lot of people out there that says, well, I heard a word from God for you, for example, right? And you got to figure out, okay, how do I know it's really from God? In fact, this is interesting. So my daughter went to school out in San Diego, and she got involved with a new church, and it's a great church. It's a really dynamic church. And but about a couple of months into going to this church, she gave me a call and said, Dad, we've got to talk about this because all these people are coming up to me and saying they had a word from God for me. And I don't know, is this true? Like, is this real? Like, sometimes whatever these people would say sounded like, yeah, this is legit. Like, that probably is something I need. Then other times it was like out of left field, like, who, is this really God or is this someone who's just kooky and I need to leave this church? You know, she was really struggling with this because here's the thing. Like I grew up in the frozen chosen church of the Lutheran church. And so it was not really something we talked about. This is not an expression. I had a great experience with Lutheran church. Just that wasn't part of the ethos of the church to have these word from God, the word of knowledge. You probably have heard that. Now, some of you have had that experience perhaps. Where you've had these people come to you and say, I have a word from God for you. God told me something and let me share with you. You know, that can be so manipulative. That can be so dangerous, right? And yet, I do believe God can speak through people. In fact, he does. I think God speaks through people that we love back, that mentor us, pastors, spouses, family members. I mean, God can speak through people, but we have to be so careful, right? So for example, confusion. This is a big one. It clearly says in scripture that God is not the author of confusion. Okay, so I remember when I was a pastor, I sat down with this girl one time, and she's a very sincere person, and she sincerely told me that she really believed that God had told her clearly that this particular guy in the singles group was the person she's supposed to marry. And at first I was like, that's really spiritual of you. That's wonderful, you know? And I ended up talking to the guy. God didn't tell him that she's the one he's supposed to marry. So there's a major issue going on here. And so I'm like, okay, God's not the author of confusion. So if this is really true, if this is of God, then God's going to make it really clear to this guy. But I told the girl, like, the next time you have a date, do not tell him this. You want a guy to run? Tell him that God told me you're supposed to marry me. And I'm going to have 5 kids with you, and this is going to be awesome. I mean, do not tell a guy that he'll run faster than anybody in this world. You know, now, I'm not saying it, that God can't speak to you, but God's not the author of confusion. Does that make sense? God's going to speak to both people if it concerns both people. Same thing. If God has someone comes to you and has a message from God, here's what I told my daughter, and I tell it to you. Throw it through the filter test, right? Filters are things that kind of take out the bad and keep the good, right, so to speak. So what's a filter test? We'll run everything through the Bible because God's voice is always consistent with God's word. So if you hear something, someone has something good to say, and it's from God, okay, run it through Scripture. Run it through the character of God. Would this be something God would say to me? Is this something from Scripture that I read? And is this something that God has consistently kind of said to me over the years? Does this kind of make sense of how God's spoken to you in the past, for example? Those are all things you run through the filter. But the most important is run it through God's word, the Bible. Faith comes from hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17 says. So God does speak to us through the Bible. In fact, if you just are a very beginner and you just want to know about God, you want God to begin to speak to you, the very first place is open up your Bible. Open up your Bible app on your phone and say, God, speak to me. Because that's what the Bible is. It's a place where God can speak into our lives. So the more time you spend in the Bible, the more you're going to hear God's voice. That's a great starting point because God always speaks consistently with the Bible. And the Bible tells us about God's character. So it lines up. In fact, there's this great prayer that you can use. 1 Samuel 3:9. It's about the young Samuel who becomes this great priest and leader of the people of Israel. And as he's getting mentored by Eli, he says this about listening to God up here on the screen. He says, so Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I love that phrase, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. The Hebrew word for listening is shema. Shema. And it means to hear with attention, to hear with interest. It's not just to let the words go through, but it's like you're leaning in. You really want to hear what God has to say. It's the same root word in Deuteronomy 6:4, and Moses relays the Ten Commandments, and he says, hear, O Israel! And some, actually, it's called often that prayer, and those words from Moses are the Shema of Israel. It's hear, O Israel. It's the same word. John 10:27, Jesus says this, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So listening with intent to really lean into what God has to say. If we really want more of God in our life, we want to hear the voice of God more in our life, we need to try listening to God more than just talking to God. Here's what's really interesting. You think about this. In this room right now, there's radio waves going through this room. There's all kinds of waves. There's actually, from satellite, there's waves coming through this room and connecting to devices like this. So if you have your phone on and you have enough bars, you can download right now what the score of your March Madness, you know, basketball bracket scores are. You can just check to see how you're doing. You know, you can check your Facebook page. You can check a text. And you can send a text and it can come back because there's waves coming back and forth, right? This thing has the software inside, it's equipped with the right software to make that connection. Now, the analogy would be, I believe God's presence is in this room. We can't see it, just like we can't see the waves in this room, but God's presence is here. And we could talk to God right now, right? And we have the software built into us to connect with God. We can make that connection. When we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we have the ability to connect with God. God can speak to us. We have the software again to connect with God wherever we are. And why that's important is, you know, sometimes we get very spiritual when we're here in church, which is great. We should. But then we walk out of here, get in the car and go somewhere else and go on the rest of our week. Here's the thing. God is with you all the time. He's just not here. I mean, he's everywhere. He can go with you wherever you go. And so this idea of prayer is both listening to and talking to God. Well, you can do that all the time. All the time. And I think it's kind of obvious, but maybe this needs to be a reminder today that you can stay in constant communication with God all the time. Even though you can't see him, there's a connection possibility. We have the right software to connect with God all the time. It's the ultimate connection plan. So the job is for us to stay connected. We need to stay connected. Listen to what Francis Collins says. I love this quote. Prayer is not an opportunity to manipulate God into doing what you want him to do. Prayer is an opportunity to have a conversation with God to try to get in tune with what his will is. Isn't that good? To get in tune with what his will is. That's what prayer is. And to do that, we have to try listening to God more than just talking to God. And that leads to my last point today is once you hear from God, and this is probably the most difficult, is we need to act on what we hear. We need to act on what we hear. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. True listening, if we go back to that Hebrew word, true listening implies that we will act on what we hear. With God's help, of course. So I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey. I just know that we're all at a place that I think we want more of God in our life. We want to hear God's voice more. So number one, maybe you need to turn down the white noise in your life and identify what that white noise is and then turn it down. Number two, we need to create more silence in our life so we can actually hear from God. And then once we get to that place of really spending that time with God, where we're both listening and talking to God, we need to be open then to the next and last step, if you will, to act on what God is telling us to do. That's where it gets really exciting. I mean, can you imagine, what if we at Capital Church, I know we're well beyond New Year's resolutions, we're in March, but what if the rest of this year, we just committed ourselves to say, okay, the rest of this year, I'm going to commit to listening to God and doing what he tells me to do. Could you imagine what that would look like in your marriage, at your job, at school, in this community right here, being really open to what God has to say? Because here's the good news, is God is speaking. Are we listening? That's the question. So for all of us, my challenge is that we need to try listening to God more than just talking to God. Maybe so with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today and the opportunity to have silence. But I know, at least for me, and maybe many of us in here, silence is hard. Silence is hard because then all the stuff that's in our soul and our heart and those feelings we don't like to deal with often emerge in silence. May we, God, today, though, realize that when we're in silence, that's the time that you can actually speak to us, though. That we can actually hear the voice of God above all the noise, the more silent we are. So, God, for this group that has gathered, help us figure out and determine what are the white noise options and distractions that we most often go to, and help us to ruthlessly eliminate the extra noise in our life so that we can hear your voice more. And then for the rest of us, God, may we just get in that habit of spending time of both listening to you and talking to you in prayer. And then as you begin to speak to us and actually prompt us and move in our lives, that we'd actually be open to acting on what you tell us, acting on what we hear. Thank you, God, that you care for us, that you don't leave us alone, that you actually are vitally involved in our life and want to do so many things in and through our lives. May we be people that are open to the move of God in our life. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, hey, to get you out of here, I've got four books I'd recommend. Hearing God, we're big Willard fans, Troy and I are. Dallas Willard, Hearing God, it's a good book. It's a thick book. I'll prepare you for that, but it's a great book on hearing God. A second book, How to Listen to God. This is an oldie, but it's a great book. Charles Stanley's still around. It's a very simple book in some ways, but it's very clear and just super practical. So I recommend How to Listen to God. The third one, Practicing the Presence of God, Brother Lawrence. This is a classic. This guy was a monk and he was peeling potatoes. And he finally realized he can actually practice the presence of God even with something as mundane as peeling potatoes. And so it's this great story about this monk, how he learned to practice the presence of God all the time. And then finally, our very own Margaret Feinberg. Many of you know Margaret, of course. She wrote a book a few years ago called The Sacred Echo. And the idea in this book is that God often speaks in different ways through different people and often repeats himself, if you will, in an echo effect, because God's trying to remind us or really get through to us something very important that he's trying to get our attention around. So it's a good book too, The Sacred Echo. I think we have some copies of each one of these books in the bookstore if you're interested in getting those. So why don't we stand? We're going to close for today. Thanks again for coming today and carving out time in your Sunday morning. Here's my prayer, is that we really, really would believe in our heart that God wants to speak to us. And may we be a community, may we be individuals that try listening to God more than just talking to God. Bless you. Grace and peace. Have a good Sunday.